Okay, let's learn. Last week, we've been talking about the subject of the issue of tefillah balachas, of silent davening and of loud davening. And finally, last week, after many, many weeks and months of preparation, we came to a scream. We came to a screaming, to a yell. We saw that the definition of tefillah b'tza'aka, tefillah with a yell, is that it's described by the Ramban as being chutzpah. A certain chatzifus, a chutzpah that's holy. And the words of the Ramban that we ended with last week, that we ended with explaining last week, was chatzifa notzach labisha. That means that there is such a thing as a type of tefillah that is so chutzpahdik, it has the power to overcome ra, evil. And we spoke about ra as being the byproduct of a world of teva, a world that seems to run in accordance to the will of nature. And nature means there's an inertia. There's an inertia of fate, a sense that things just go on and on and on, and that there is, God forbid, no creator who could change things, and that you're stuck in a certain... you're stuck in a certain place and you can't get out. You can't get out of that place. And the tefillah, which is b'tza'aka, tefillah with a scream, is an expression of the faith that a person has to go against the tide, to swim against the tide. We spoke about that at great length last week. That's what we ended with. That's what we ended with. Now it says, I just want to mention you before we start, because now we're going to be talking for the next few weeks, and not all that you have in this little book that are we going to be doing. Some of it's very difficult and complicated. Basically, all that I've been talking about until now, and especially what I spoke about last week with the tzaka, in these sources we're going to see the concept of tefillah being used in such a way, as we saw last week, as a sword, as a cherev, right? That has the power to tear through teva. And the special tefillah of tzaka, and how does one learn to daven with the tzaka? It doesn't mean you have to scream at the top of your lungs. How do we exercise this power of tefillah b'tza'aka, which we saw as referred to as a cherev, as a sword, like Yaakov says, b'charbi u'b'kashti, with my sword and with my bow and arrow. And when he said sword and bow and arrow, Targum translated that as meaning with his tefillah and with his pleading. The tefillah is called a sword. And we spoke about that sword last week, that the sword has the power to cut through all of this world. Before we start going into this more, I wanted to read to you a sentence from that you don't have, from the Rebbe Rabbi Aharon Roth, the great tzaddik that told us Avin Shomer Emunim, the author of the Sefer Shomer Emunim, the Rebbe Rabbi Aharon. He brings from the Rebbe of Uri Strelitzker in Yiddish. So you forgive me for my Yiddish, it's not, it doesn't go with it, it doesn't conform to my outfit, my Yiddish. It's a source of a lot of pain in my life, you know. When you go, no, I'm just kidding. You know, wherever I go someplace, so, you know, the guy starts, you know, I could understand everything, but I have a hard time communicating. So right away they look at me and they think, what's the Balshiva? You know, so they get the Balshiva, says, okay, why not? Says, yeah, okay, I'm a Balshiva, halavai. Well, I should be a Balshiva. Either that or they figure I'm from Farakwe. Right. So he brings from the Rebbe Buri Strelitzker. It says in the Gemara that at the end of time before Mashiach comes, in those days before Mashiach, there will be great chutzpah in the world. Everybody's heard that. There'll be chutzpah yaske, there'll be chutzpah. So what does chutzpah mean? So chutzpah means kids talking back to parents, talking back to teachers and so on. But there's a deeper meaning to the chutzpah that's going to be revealed before Mashiach comes. He brings here from the Sefer, from Imre Kodesh, from the Rabbi Raburi Strelitzker, of the Gemara, because the Mashiach chutzpah yasuk, because the Mashiach, in Zman Fabius Mashiach chutzpah, as man vet shrein beim davenen, I feel man is nisht thereby, is doch das a chutzpah, is yasuk doch vet, das sein choshe far nebishten. He says that, before the days of Mashiach, as man vet shrein by davenin, that even a person who's not holding near, in a place that's near Hashem. There's nish thereby. He's not over there. He's not next to Hashem. Even in other words, even a person who's not a tzaddik. Nevertheless, Azman Vet shrine by davening, to scream by davening, even a Jew who is not close to Hashem, that normally that's the madrega of tzaddikim. It's a chutzpah, he says, it's a chutzpah. That's a chutzpah. A person who's far from Hashem, who's on a low madrega, who does all kinds of things that are not right, that person should stand by davening, screaming and yelling. So he says, Yask, that's what the Gemara is saying. It's that also is choshev in Hashem's eyes. So we have a new interpretation of the chutzpah that will be before Mashiach. The chutzpah before Mashiach, the Rebbe Aburi is telling us, means everything in the world is pushing one way, and a Jew stands in the midst of all that screaming to go the other way, and his davening is with screaming and yelling like the earlier tzaddikim, even though it seems chutzpahdik. Who are you? Who are you? What are you screaming over there like you? Who do you think, you're a Rebbe or something? Are you pouring your heart into davening so much? In other words, you're so certain that a person like you is worthy of being answered? So the answer to that is yes. That's the chutzpah of the end of time. That even people like ourselves feel worthy somehow that our tefillah should be answered. That's chutzpah. That's chutzpah. But that's the kind of chutzpah that the Ramban says has the power to conquer, right, to change a person's life. To understand this kind of davening, and where this davening is coming from, and how people like us can become connected to it, we have to learn a small piece of the Rama Himna, a small piece of the Zohar HaKadosh, which is photostated here. Let me first tell you that in Lukuta Maharan, the second teaching of Rabbi Nachman in Lukuta Maharan, Rabbi Nachman says a shocking thing. Rabbi Nachman says, his words are, Ika klezenu shel Mashiach hu atfila. Rabbi Nachman says that the main weapon with which Mashiach is going to conquer the world is davening. That's what Rabbi Nachman says. The main weapon with which Mashiach is going to conquer the world is davening. Now, keeping that in mind, let's approach with great Yiras Hashem, the teachings that begin from the Zohar, and to begin to understand the meaning of tefillah being a sword and tefillah being the weapon of Mashiach. Let me give you a little bit of background here, because this little selection from the Zohar itself is astounding. Now, on top you have Aramaic. I know it's hard enough to read the Hebrew, focused out of the one with the Sulam that has the translation on the bottom. Let me just tell you what's happening here. Rabbi Hamnuna Saba. There was a Rabbi Hamnuna Saba. Rabbi Hamnuna Saba had a child that was called the Yanuka. Yanuka means child. This was a wonder child, this Yanuka. And the Zohar is telling us that the Yanuka, that this wonder child, the son of Rabbi Hamnuna Saba, that the Yanuka prepared a meal for Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, for his son Rabbi Elazar, and from Rabbi Abba. Now, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, his son Rabbi Abba, are the three foremost masters of the Zohar. And this child prepared a seuda, prepared a meal in honor of the three tzaddikim. That's the story. That's the background of what's happening here. It's found here and in one other place in the Zohar. This section of the Zohar, which is called Raya Mehimna, is a dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Obviously, that's not something that could take place historically. It takes place in a deep, amazing, metaphysical way. So look inside the Zohar Chof Dalet. On the bottom. Soich kachini amor hakadosh boilav l'rayim mehimna v'amar rayim mehimna. One day, the Balamaimer of the Zohar approaches the great light, the holy light, the Rayi Mehimna, the loyal shepherd. That's Moshe Rabbeinu of Omar. And he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rayi Mehimna, Yom Echad Halachti Aniva Charveim Lamolon Echad. One day, I went with some of my colleagues to a certain place. And there was a child there. Come va'arachlon whom me'atzmo, and this child prepared for us on his own. Menorah v'shulchan, he prepared some candles and a table. Kilo haya ben esrim shana, as if he were 20 years old. He did all of this on his own. V'lahaya eliku ben chamesh shana, he was only around 5 years old. V'arach shulchan mikol minei ma'achlo mishte. He prepared all different kinds of food. V'amar, and he said, Harei haminu chachomim, shabal abayis botzeh, v'areach mevarech. Usually, haminu chachomim, usually the chachom established that usually the balabayis, the master of the house, should be responsible for cutting the challah, and he gives the arech, the guest, the bench to afterwards. Aval tzori ani liyomim, but I am very young. V'atem yisisim, and you're very old. Al ken zachalti v'yir mechavas deyitchem, therefore I am trembling in fear of expressing my opinions before you. Ad she'ekach mikem reshus, therefore I ask you permission. Amrlo emor b'ni malach Hashem. And they told him, speak, my child, angel of God. Now listen to what he said. Amalon, he told us, Atem roitzim lechem adan b'li melchama. O lechem b'li melchama. What is it you're seeking? Are you seeking bread and delicacies without war? Or are you prepared to fight?
Without war or without war?
How do you want to eat? How do you want to have your food to eat, your delicacies, with war or without war? Lechem is the same, bread is the same letters as the word lachom, which means war. Right? Milchom is the same word as the same word. So how do you want your bread? With a milchom or without a milchom? With a war or without a war? Kikach hemidu chach mehamishnah. Because this was established by the sages of the Mishnah. She'es achila hushas milchom. That the time that a person is eating, when a person is eating, it's a time of war. Right? Now, there's a war not to eat. The time of eating is a shas melchama. Vimrit soinchem shetia melchama lo. Lo yachal af echad ele mishinetzeche melchama. And if you believe in this, that there's a war, when it comes to eating, then the only one who should be allowed to eat is the person who's victorious in this war. And this person should lead everybody by making the bracha over the challah, the yatzel kula. Amlo chaverim. So the chaverim, Rabbi Shimon, can you imagine Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Abba said to the child, Ata katan bini, you are still a little child. How do you know how the great ministers and powerful warriors fight their battles? How do you know? Listen to the words. How do they fight their battles? Becherev, you see the next column? They use a sword. Benanua hacherev, with the moving of the sword. Beromach. What's a romach? With a shield, bekeshes with a bow, an arrow, bechitzei hakeshes with arrows of the bow, bekela with a sling, and ba'avne hakela, and with the stones of the sling. Romach, no. Romach is a spear, I'm sorry. A spear. With a spear, a bow and arrow, with the bow and arrows, the sling and the stones of the sling. That's how we fight wars. And you're a child, what do you know about this stuff? So Amalanu, Chavav, Amalanu, the child answered with a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, Perek Chav. Amalanu, Ayishalal Charge Kemefateach, which loosely translated means, let not him that puts on his sword, meaning let not the person putting on his sword to go to war, boast or gloat over the one that's taking off the sword, who's returning from war. In other words, somebody is a big shot, he's putting on his sword to go out to battle. It's a gewaltig thing. But he shouldn't boast over the person who's returning from the battle victorious. Listen to what the child says to the greatest tzaddikim in the world. Kivada, he says, Bikriya Shema He'emidu, because we have been taught by the Chachamim regarding Shema. Kolakore Kriya Shema al mitoso, whoever reads Kriya Shema in bed, Kilo Ocheis Cherv Pifios. Chazal said it's as if he's holding a double-edged sword. Whoever reads Kriya Shema at night is holding in his hand a sword with two edges. V'ne'anua ha'cherev, and the movement, the waving of the sword, sorach l'ane'os al l'shisha k'tzavos. I mean, it sounds very abstract. And it'll be brought down to earth. Don't worry about it. It's an amazing thing. Maybe we could talk about this for a few years. It's just this little piece of Zohar. The child says that the sword is being moved in six directions. We'll skip the Kabbalah there in the end. K'mo shehamidu k'desha tamlichu al ha-shamayim v'al ha-aretz v'al arba ruchus ha-olam. We know that when we say Shema, we accept Hashem as King over heaven and earth, that's two, and the four corners of the world, right? When you're saying Shema. Some people even move their heads. I don't know if you've ever seen some people when they're saying Shema, they makabel mach shemaim, they say Kriya Shema, they go Shema Yisrael, and they move their heads. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, to be makabel, to accept Hashem as King over heaven, earth, and the four corners of this world. Above, below, and four sides. That equals six. So the six movements of the sword. Shem Shishek Tzavos. And that is the Vav of Hashem's name. I'm skipping things that are not for us, okay? Vav zu da havaya. That's the Vav of the name of Hashem. The six, Vav equals six. So Vav means the six directions that the sword is being waved. This is all about Shema. Who guf hacherev? It's the body of the sword. The sword itself, he says, the sword itself is shaped like a vav. Right? The sword is shaped like a vav. That's the vav. Yud, the havaya, the letter yud of Hashem's name, he roish hacherev. It's the top of the sword. I suppose it means the hilt. I think it means the hilt, right, the handle of the sword. That's like a yud. It's shaped like a yud. That's like a yud. The handle, the hilt, is a yud. And then hey, the two heys of Hashem's name, Shabbat Havaya, hey shnei pios shel acherev. They're the two edges. The two, literally the two mouths, they're called, pios. The two mouths of the sword. Nirtek shel acherev, the sheath in which you put the sword, the holder, hu Hashem alef dal nun yud. That's the name of Hashem, Alef Dalet Nun Yud. Don't ask me about that one. You could wonder about it, but don't ask me about it. That holds it. Alef Dalet Nun Yud holds it. The mouth means that the double-edged tip. There's a sword on both sides. That the Zohar says that's the hay in the hay. Why is it called it's called in Tanakh, Pios, Pipios, Cher Pifios, Piodom. We say it in davening. Right, that's the sword. Then the spear, Chav Zayin, the spear, Rumcha, that's called in Hebrew Romach, is the spear, right? Romach is a spear. That's Ramach B'Kriyashma. Romach, Hainu Ramach Milosh B'Kriyashma. There are 248 words in Shema, which equal exactly the word Romach, which means a spear. There are 248 words. Ramach, which equals, of course, the Ramach Evarim, the 248 limbs of the body. Ramach is Ramach, and Ramach Milosh B'Kriyashma. From Shisha Milosh B'Yichud Shema Yisrael, Harehem Romach. And with the six words of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, with those six words, you have the Vav to form Romach. In other words, it's Resh Mem Ches, beginning from Vahavta. When you put in the six words, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, then it equals Romach, 248. I mean, 248 plus the six. 248 plus the six. That's Romach. That's the word Romach. Dainu Ramach, yeah. Dainu Ramach im Vav. Mogain, the warrior carries a shield. Right? Mogain is a shield. Mem Gimel Nun. Mogain im Acherv, Hainu. The Mogain is Gimel Malachim, the three angels. Michoel Gavriel Nuriel. That spells Mogain. Michoel, the angel Michoel is Mem, Gavriel is Gimel, Nuriel is Nun. Shem Rosh Tevas Morgain. Nuriel. 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 There's a whole community of Malachim that we haven't been introduced to in our upbringing. And there's a reason why it's Davka Nuriel, not Uriel. Nuriel is, there's a different Malach Uriel. That's the one we say goodnight. We say goodnight with, right? Okay. We're following Nuriel, but this is Michal, Gavriel, and Nuriel. There are quite a few Svartim that have the name Nuriel. I have three students with the name Nuriel. It's a beautiful name, Nuriel. Shem Rosh Tevis Magin. Shem Shamshim Shel Gimel Avos. These are the servants of the three Avos. Michal is the servant of Avraham. Gavriel is the servant of Yitzchak. And Nuriel is the servant of Yaakov, which correspond to those three qualities of Chesed, Gvura, and Teferis. These three angels are connected to Chesed, Gvura, and Teferis. To the three qualities, Chesed is, of course, Avram, Gvura is Yitzchak, and Teferis, splendor, is Yaakov. That's the Mogain, the shield. Keshes, which means the bow. Hu Azari Chitzim, that shoots arrows. This is the quality of Yesod. Yesod, it can't be explained here properly, but Yesod means the holiness of relationship. Let me just leave it at that. Yesod means the holiness, that there should be holiness in relationship between men and women. That's connected to the Kedusha of the Bris, the holiness of the Bris Mila. Yesod. Kela, which means the sling into which the stones are put, right? The sling. Ze Kriyeshma. Kela is Kriyeshma. He Avne HaKela, the five stones that go into the sling are the five words, Hein He Milim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, which corresponds to Chesed Gevurah Teferes Netzach and Hod. Kenegdan, and corresponding to these five stones, or the five words, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, Hashem, before Echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, Kenegdan V'ikach David Chamisha Chalukei Avonim Min HaNachal. When David fought against Goliath, he took five smooth stones from the river. U'kishesomosom B'kli HaKela, when David HaMelech put them into the slingshot, she has suffered. The slingshot is known also in Kabbalah as being like a mouth, lips. That's how the slingshot is Listen, in other words, words are coming out of the mouth. The slingshot is like the mouth. And the five smooth stones are Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, Shekorei Kriya Shema, V'Hashchina, Nasu Kol HaChamesh Evan Achas, V'Haragas HaPlishta, it all joined into Echad. The five stones unified with the slingshot and completed Echad to destroy Goliath, to destroy Goliath. So the child is saying all this, right? Let's read a few more sentences and then we'll spend the next few weeks on this. Vad kan zirikne, vad ata zirakti evan hazu l'samoel. So the child says, until now I've been throwing this one stone. Remember, the five stones all came into one. Inside the slingshot, they joined into one. Until now, he said, I've been firing this stone at the Samach Mem. Samach Mem means the Satan, the evil one. Shu Evan Matsur, Viharasti Matsur Shalo, and I have been able to destroy his fortress, Vihishpalti Osolamata, and I have caused him to be degraded and to fall. Mushumzer Martulachan. So the child says, that's why I told you. You might be on the way to war, and you're taking out your sword, prepared to go to war. I might be 5 years old, I'm already returning from war, because I've already done this. Now, I hope that you realize that I know how great masters and warriors fight battles with Charova swords, Romach spears, Keshes bows, and Kela slingshots. That's what the child said. When he finished, Hayinu Tmeim, Rabbi Shimon says, we stood in wonder. V'lo yacholnu l'dabar lefanav, we couldn't speak in his presence. Omar Lanu, then the child said, Chachamim, wise men, Atonir, let us see now, Mi yavirech lechem, Shu lechem hamaitzi, who has the power of war to say that motzi over lechem? Who knows the secret of war to make hamotzi over the bread? Everybody understand? Okay. You know, I struggled for a long time thinking whether or not I should bechlal go into this. So this was the conclusion, because it could be brought down, and it has to be brought down to a madrega for us. One thing that comes out without going into any of the details, we see that there is a spiritual battle that's taking place. There's a spiritual war that's taking place on the deepest level. And we see that it has to do with, it's connected to the name of Hashem, it's connected to eating, it's connected to davening, specifically to Kriya Shema. This is all in the context of the discussion of the Chachamim regarding the power of saying Kriya Shema before you go to sleep. That's what this is all about. Kriya Shema Alamita. It applies to all davening. And we'll see. The Svarim discuss other parts of davening. But Kriya Shema in particular has immense, immense power to fight against the quality of death and of evil, and of, you know, the Yetzirah that attaches itself to a person, particularly at night, and particularly as one goes to bed. So the Kriya Shema is being described here as a means of warfare against the side of evil, and that it contains within it, within Kriya Shema, there is the mystery of these different weapons that are being used to fight against that, against the Yetzer Hara and the side of evil. And that the Koach HaMelchama, the power of warfare, is in the mouth of a Jew. Ein Koach HaMelo B'peh. Chazal say about the Jews that the whole Koach that the Jewish people have is with their mouth. HaKol Kol Yaakov HaYidayim Yidei Esav, right? The voice of Yaakov. The Yidayim, the hands, are the hands of Esav. So in order to defeat the Plishti, Goliath, why Davka Goliath is something that we should talk about, but it's not, there's no time right now. In order to fight against that quality of Goliath, of that side of evil, to overcome that, it is necessary to empower the mouth that is able to somehow, through Kriyishma, shoot arrows, and throw spears, and sling rocks at the other side. So let's try to understand. Remember again that we began with the statement from Rabbi Nachman, that Rabbi Nachman says that the Kli Zeinu Shel Mashiach, that the weapon of Mashiach ben David is tefillah. And the Baal Tanya taught us in the Igeres HaKodesh that although it's true that superiority of Torah over tefillah was only until the end of time. But it's been revealed to us through the teachings of the Zohar and the Arizal that in the generations before Mashiach, at the end of time, tefillah is the most powerful way. It's the most powerful way of serving Hashem. Not, God forbid, to denigrate in any way, chalila, the service of Torah. I don't think I have to tell any of you that the Baal Tanya was considered, next to the Vilna Gaon, by many to be the master of the generation of learning. But that the Ikka, the essence, is tefillah. Is davening. So there are a number of sources in the Svarim HaKadoshim that we'll do this time and next time that discuss the teaching of the Zohar, that allude to it and discuss it openly, and bring it to a level that we're capable of understanding. The first you have here is on page 3. This is one of the classic Chassidus Svarim, the Morei Na'im. The Morei Na'im is from the Rebbe of Nachum Chernobyler. The Morei Na'im. It's a school that they say to learn Morei Na'im, that a person should have clarity and good vision to learn the Sefer Morei Na'im. I heard from an old Lithuanian Jew that was losing his eyesight, that people kept telling him to go to, I forgot which Chassidus Rebbe. I think to the Satmarov. And this is a real diehard Litvak, you know. And they had told him, if he go, he could barely see. So he almost couldn't see. And he went to the Satmarov. The Satmarov told him to learn Morei Na'im. To learn Morei Na'im, which is translated, means the light of the eyes. To learn Morei Na'im, the Baruch Shalom will help. He went to Satmarov. For him to learn Morei Na'im, you know, it's like learning Chinese. So he went, but he took a fellow to learn with him, and he listened. He trusted that the Rebbe was a big tzaddik, and he sat to learn Morei Na'im. And the Jew told me that Bemis within a month, he had complete eyesight. So then I said, so you still learn Morei Na'im? He says, no, that was it. So I said, it was an emissary litvak. That's a real litvak. You know, I mean, in other words, he says, no, it worked. It worked. But like, I was hoping, like, maybe, you know, well, we brought him over. He says, no, it was a refuah. It's like, you know, the doctor gave a prescription. And Baruch Hashem, I'm finished with the contempt. Yeah, it worked. And I'm very grateful. And I appreciate it very much. And yeah, yeah, that's it. So it's a powerful save of the Morei Na'im. When a person's able to see Baruch Hashem, it helps you see better. And things in a different way. To learn Morei Na'im is a very special thing. It's a good prescription. It's from the earliest Chassidus Svarim. So the Rebbe, the Morei Na'im, Rebbe Menachem, is going on the Pasuk in Vayikra, V'chi sizbechu zevach toida l'ritzonchem tizbachu. When you offer an offering of thanks to Hashem, the sacrifice, offer it up that it may be accepted. You should offer it up yourself with ratzon, with desire, so that it may be accepted with desire by Hashem. That's not so, I mean, the pasuk that it's going on is not really so important for us. What's going to be important is what he says till he gets to the end. The pasuk is not so important for us right now. It's important, but not for us right now. Klal hadavar. The great principle of this matter is shehatfila yoyse me'ula mikol ha'avaydis. Spells it right out. The tefillah is more precious than any other way of serving God. Davening is the most precious way to serve God. Shehatfila yoyse me'ula mikol ha'avaydis. Ubetfila tzarech lehischazek la'aroch milchama. When a Jew goes to daven, you have to strengthen yourself to fight a war. Now, in the context of the Zohar, it had a lot to do with eating. Since that's not the subject that I really want to talk about, but probably you're interested in that, I would talk about it, Mitzvah Shem, afterwards, because it's a fascinating thing what all of that had to do with eating. It sounded like we were just talking about eating, and the whole thing was in the context of that suud, of that meal. And then suddenly, the eunuch, the child, turn to the discussion of Kriyashma. So what happened with the eating? And then he comes back at the end also, okay, now you can make hamotzi. Whoever fought this war, the bottom line is, I'm going to make hamotzi. So what does it have to do with eating? I think just in the context of what we've been talking about the last couple of months, that eating is called the time of war because it's particularly the time of eating, which I alluded to in the past, that eating is perhaps more than any other time of the day when we feel that struggle between the body and the soul. Eating is a very, very important part of Avodas Hashem. It's not just something we do to live. Therefore, the Svarim speak such great length about how eating has the potential to lift a person to the highest heights. When it says in the Torah that man does not live by bread alone, so the Baal Shem Tov interpreted that to mean that he doesn't live by the bread, he lives by the sparks that are hidden within the bread. That's what it means, you don't live by the bread alone. It's not the bread that gives you life, it's the sparks of holiness that are contained within the bread. When a person's eating this, anytime you're eating there, I mean, it could be not in the war at all, that's our stop. You're just indulging. If you're just indulging, you just eat, you know, your fresher, okay. All Jews should be healthy and well. But if a person's eating, l'shem shemaim, is trying to eat in a way of holiness, so when a person's eating, there's a tremendous, tremendous feeling that my physical life depends on this, that could draw a person away from a recognition of his spiritual source of life. In short, the time of eating is a time of war. But the subject of eating is not the subject that I want to get into now. But it's interesting, but it's just not for now. So I'm just saying that in parentheses, that that's what that's about. But our war that we're interested in now is the war of tefillah, is the war of davening. The war that we spoke about last week from the Ramban, of Chatzifa, of the chutzpah, of a tefillah that's like a sword that is able to rip through nature and fate and to bring a person all kinds of amazing things. This is a tefillah with a scream and a yell. And to understand what that means. So the Maranayim says, "Ubetfilah tzarich l'schazik l'aruch ha'machomah k'mavur b'zoyer." That's our Zohar, with arrows, with the bow, with the spear, and with the sword. He's just bringing down the Zohar. Now he says some words that sound a little bit strange. He says that the human being, from top to bottom, is filled with letters, with osios, is filled with the letters of the olive base. And our job in life is to lift the letters to the first will and desire of Hashem. Shemekar mimenu. V'hu kishehodam mamshich b'kol kaychaysov ma'achshavto l'mayla v'zorek k'mol shadorech b'keshes v'zorek chetzo l'mayla. What does this mean? What does it mean that we're filled with letters? Let's just say for our purposes here that the human being is filled with potential holiness that is dormant and lifeless. You remember we spoke about the letters? The letters without dots don't have life. You remember? The letters themselves correspond to the guf, to the physical body, or to the nefesh. The nekudos, the dots, the vowels correspond to ruach. And the thoughts and intentions, or the tamim, the trup, the tune, the movement of the words corresponds, the punctuation, or the cantillation, however you call it, that corresponds to the thoughts, to neshama. And we learned from the Nefesh HaChaim that a person has to try to lift up, to give life to the letters and bring the letters up to a level, from a level of being stam, dormant, physical blobs that just sit there, to give them life with nekudos, and to raise the body up to the level of ruach, and to raise that up to the level of neshama, to lift it up to the highest level of the intellect of the neshama. So in the Rebbe, the Amorei Naim says that the human being is filled with osios. He's filled with potential, with great potential energy that has to be enlivened. Therefore, he says that when a person invests all of his strength, his thoughts, he puts his ruach, and he puts his neshama, the zorek, that's what it means, like shooting an arrow, throwing, pushing, like firing, with all of your strength. Like shooting an arrow, to try to shoot an arrow to the furthest, to the highest place. This is what the Zohar, this is how the Rebbe is explaining the Zohar that we just learned. This is what is alluded to by the Yanuka, by the child, when he speaks about the words of Kriyashma that correspond to the Romach, that correspond to the spear, and correspond to the sword, and so on. You know, the six words of Shema, and the name of Hashem, and all this stuff that we saw in the Zohar. Ubitnai, and the condition, Shlo Yisarev Machsheves Psul Chasushol, the condition that your tefillah should give life to the letters, and should be able to act like a sword that tears through fate and all things of this world, and that could reach the throne of glory, that a person should shouldn't allow his thoughts to become confused with impurity, that the thoughts should be pure. Because if a person interrupts his davening with an impure thought, he's speaking to a person on a very high level. So we have to take out from this what we can. But if a person is unable to lift up those thoughts, because even thoughts that are improper are thoughts that have fallen, that a person can fix. But if a person is unable to, and the thoughts enter into the middle of davening, thoughts that are improper. So he says that this impure thought gives strength to the side of evil, chas v'sholem. Ein loy tikun rak sheyikarvin b'ramach tevin dekriyishma. And how can you fix this situation? How can you destroy the force of evil that you created with improper thoughts? He says with the 248 words of Kriya Shema, that with the 248 words of Kriya Shema, which means a spear, a romach, with the 248 words of Shema, az horeg osan haklipos, then you can destroy this power of evil. Share the next page. Shenishava yidem achshav azor betfilah, that was created as a result of your improper thought when you daven. You can destroy it with the words, with the spear of Shema, of Kriya Shema. In other words, tefillah, davening that was blemished, can be fixed by a Kriya Shema, especially Elamit at night, that is said with great energy. Then that's like a spear that kills the improper thought. That is the meaning in the story of Pinchas ben Elozah ben Aaron HaKohen. When Pinchas killed, when he stopped the plague, right? He stopped the side of evil by taking his spear and killing those who were guilty, as you recall. So when Pinchas did that, it says, that Pinchas took the spear in his hand, The deeper meaning of that is that in order to fight against the side of evil that was created by our own actions and our own thoughts, a person has to take the romach biyodo. The romach means he has to grab hold of Kriya Shema, the 248 words. Shemiram is bizarre called the Shemiramach Tevin the Kriya Shema. Vehid Kriyasam Alakaiva. When a person thinks for a moment that your ability to speak, your ability to utter the words of Shema, the breath of your mouth, of your lips, comes from the actual breath of God Himself that breathed into your living soul. When a person ponders this, when a person meditates, contemplates this reality, that when Hashem created us, He breathed into us the breath of life, and that you have that power within the breath of your life to put your heart and your soul into saying Shema, into the words of Tefillah, you'll be filled with a sense of awe when you realize that your words are the words of God Himself, and that your breath is God's breath. And with this you could take revenge against the side of evil. And that's the meaning when we say in davening, what's in Tehillim, Ramamos kel begroinam. The praises of God are in their throats, that means davening, when? Kishecher pifios biyodam. We say in davening, Ramamos kel begroinam, cher pifios biyodam. Which means, when does a Jewish person have the double-edged sword of Hashem's name to fight against the side of evil in his life that's trying to bring him down? That's when the praises of God are in his throat. That's through the power of tefillah. Romos kel begronam, k'shev cher pifios biyodam. Shnei pios oz lasos nekoma. L'zoha yiratzon ha-bar baruch hu bebriya l'halos kol ha-nevorim l'dibur ha-rishu shu tchilas ha-ratzon. And it was God's will in creation that all of us should be lifted up and to rise to a level of that first of the first dibur, of the first word, of when Hashem first spoke words into us and gave us those letters. Shutchilas haratzon, that's the beginning of will, the beginning of desire. Zeo ki sizbechu zevach todo ki mavua bizarro as tiru shihele ritzoynchem l'kavanas tchilas haratzon. Now he just fits this into the pasuk. As was often the case, the Chassidish Rebbe was not coming to tell us the pshat here in the pasuk. He's the simple meaning of the text. He's trying to teach us a deep lesson. And to remember the text, perhaps, to something as a hint, he would give us the to remember the deeper meaning, he would give us the pasuk. He put it into the pasuk. So he just ends up by saying, that if you want to offer thanksgiving to Hashem to daven properly, if you want to offer yourself up in proper thanks to Hashem with davening, liritzonchem tizbochu means that you should have the will and the desire to reach the original will and desire that Hashem had when He breathed life into you. You should try to come to the deepest way of using your words. That's what it means in our level. For people like us, it means you should come to the most authentic, pure, sincere scream. Then you come back to the Tchilas Haratzon, to the beginning of God's will. Now, what this means exactly, and how we're to go about doing this and feeling this, so Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll learn a little bit from the Degel Machaneh Ephraim and from the Moreh Na'im, a little bit from Rabbi Nachman, and it should be that, I mean, I know it's a little bit difficult, the subject. It's a little bit difficult, but Bez Hashem, after we go through the theoretical stage and see a little bit in the Svar Makadoshim, then to come Mamish to bring it down to the Parshat level for people like us, and to understand the nature of a tzaaka, of a scream, and then from the tzaaka to be prepared to then enter into the realm of shira, of song, from tzaaka to move to shira, to song. Of what does it mean to daven to Hakadosh Baruch Hu with shira? Must any have shira? I would ask you if there are any questions about tonight, but I know that's loaded. So Bez Hashem, it should become clearer over time.